Surely you've seen The Wizard of Oz. You saw Judy Garland playing the role of Dorothy as she went in her ruby shoes up the yellow brick road. Where was she going? She was going to see, I'm off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. But what happened along the way? She met lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Today we're going to meet lions and leopards and bears and a dreadful beast, all telling us about our future. Excited as Dorothy was when she was off to see the Wizard of Oz. And I'm all excited because of what you and I are going to see today. Oh, beloved, we have entered a new segment of the book of Daniel. I love the first segment. I love the lessons that we learn about God. I love what we learn about Daniel and the example that he gives us. But now at chapter 7, we have a break in the book. Up until this time, from Daniel chapter 1 all the way through Daniel chapter 6, we have moved chronologically through Daniel's life. We have had him living under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar when he was taken captive into Babylon from Israel. We have seen him under the reign of Belshazzar in the very last year of his reign, on the very last day of his reign, when Belshazzar was put to death. And then we have seen him at the end of chapter 6 into the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, we're moving to a new segment. And what's going to happen is from chapter 7 through chapter 12, and I'm only telling you this because I'm assuming that you've done your homework, but from chapter 7 to chapter 12, we're going to look at visions that were given to Daniel at different periods of time. As a matter of fact, let's stop and just look at those so that you can see where we're headed. Because where we're headed, beloved, is into the future. We're headed into the future. We're going to get a good look at the past, but we're headed into the future. And when you get through studying this book with me, you're going to have God's blueprint for prophecy. And you know what? You're going to every prophetic scripture fits within the framework of the book of Daniel, which is absolutely awesome. So Daniel is like the skeleton. It's like them bones, dry bones on that skeleton hanging there. And what we're going to do is, as we study prophecy more and as I add insights from other scriptures, we're going to begin to put flesh on those bones. And you're going to have an understanding that is going to hold you in good stead, so that whenever you hear anyone teach on prophecy, or when anyone might come along and say, the Lord's coming, do this, do that, you can know, is the Lord coming or is it not? Is he not? And you can know that because God is very careful to tell us what he's going to do ahead of time. Now, he tells us that in Amos. But let's look at Daniel right now. All right. And I want to show you the openings of these various chapters so you can see the year and the revelation that was given to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw dreams and visions. So this one happened in the first year of Belshazzar. So in your workbook or in your Bible, you would write the year 553 BC. Now remember, Belshazzar ruled until 539 BC, when Babylon the Great Great was brought down by the Medes and the Persians. So this is in the first year. All right, now I want you to go to Daniel chapter 8, just so you can see where we're going. In Daniel chapter 8, it says, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, subsequent or following the one which appeared to me previously. So that would be in the third year, so that's 551 B.C. Then we go to Daniel chapter 9, all right? So we've had two visions already, both given to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, all right? So this is in the first year of Darius. So this is another time, but it follows because now we've moved from Babylon to the Medes and the Persians, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. So this is in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Well, Daniel served all the way through the time of Cyrus. I want you to see that for just 1 minute. Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, in verse 21, the last verse tells us this, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So Daniel served all the way through the first year of Cyrus the king. And Cyrus was the Persian king. But what you have, he was part of the Medo-Persian Empire. But what you have in Daniel chapter 10 is you have him getting a vision from God in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, when you read this, you read a vision that goes from 10, 11, and 12. And I tell you what happens in that last chapter is he takes that prophecy and he nails it down and he nails it hard and it is firm and it is going to stand and you are going to be so excited. So what you have in the first half of Daniel in chapters 1 through chapter 6 is you have the account of Daniel's service in Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar all the way through to Cyrus. And you say, but it Daniel chapter 6 opens up with Darius. Yes, it opens up with Darius appointing 120 satraps over the kingdom when he takes over Babylon. But the last verse of chapter 6 says this, so Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So it gives us Daniel's life. Now, the visions that we have seen are visions that belong to Nebuchadnezzar, visions, dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had. But now, from Daniel chapter 7 on, these are all visions that were given to Daniel himself, in addition to what was given to Nebuchadnezzar, which Daniel interpreted for us. As we look at this chapter, as we look at Daniel chapter 7, I want you to know, I know who the lion, the tiger, no, who the lion, the bear, and the leopard, and the DT beast are. I know that. I've studied. I've gone all the way through, and I've studied the history associated with this. But I'm not going to tell you. And you say, well, I know already. Well, good for you. I'm glad that you know already. But I'm not going to tell you, because what I want you to do is I want you, beloved, to catch the beauty of studying the Bible inductively. I want you to catch the awesomeness of the truth that you can discover on your own, no matter what your education is or no matter your lack of education. Now, I'm not demeaning the theologians. I'm not demeaning those men that have the gift of knowledge, that have given us wonderful, wonderful insights, and that have the opportunities to read other languages and to explore other men's books and libraries and history. I'm not demeaning them at all. I have benefited greatly from them. But the way that I know, when I hear them say different things and interpret passages different ways, the way that I know whether they're right or wrong, even though I have no degree, I have a temperature but no degree, even though I have no degree, is because I know the Word of God. Because I've studied the Word of God inductively. Now, let me just review. Inductive study means that instead of going to a book about the Bible to find out what it means, you go to the Bible itself to discover for yourself what it says. Did you hear that? What it says. So you observe the text. Observation is finding out, what does he say? What is God saying to me in this book? Because this is God's book. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. That's what the word inspiration means in 2 Timothy 3:16. And so it's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. And this is what we're going to get. We're going to get doctrine. We're going to get solid teaching on what the Word of God says, what it means. So you move from observation, discovering what does it say, to interpretation. And that interpretation, now watch, that interpretation comes, and I'm saying watch, and I'm putting one hand, the fingers through the other fingers, and pointing them upwards. But that interpretation comes out of good, accurate observation, and you discover what it means, and then you live in the light of it. Now, when we look at prophecy, you say, how do you live in the light of prophecy? You order your life in accordance with what this truth is saying. So this is going to be very, very informative, but you're going to see truth for yourself. So there's some things I'm not going to explain to you, and I'm telling you why, because God is going to explain them to you in this book, and we're going to see it as it unfolds, and we're going to look at it inductively. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. And what you were instructed in your study guide was to mark that and to put a time clock on it so that you know when this revelation is being given. And that's important because Babylon is the first kingdom we know on the statue in Daniel chapter 2. It's the head of gold. All right. So this was given during the day when Babylon was still this great power. All right. Verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream. Mark the word dream, and visions in his mind as he lay on the bed. Then he wrote the dream down. He sees the dream, he writes it down, and related the following summary of it. He's relating the beginning of this dream. And it says, Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds were stirring up the great sea. And what comes out of the great sea? Oh my, we'll tell you when we come back.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we're offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
Welcome back, my friend. Let me introduce you to 4 great beasts that were coming up out of the sea. Now, as we look at this, next to verse 2 in the margin either of your Bible or in the margin of your study notes that you have downloaded or you've picked up the phone, you've called our 800 number, and you've gotten our study guide, in the margin, write the vision. Okay, this is so good for you to do it in your Bible. So you might want to mark it on your notes. When you get it neat on your notes, then put it in your Bible. Now, if you're a neatnik, writing in your Bible is kind of frustrating because you're going to make a mistake. But remember, there is whiteout. And remember that this is a book that is supposed to be comfortable, a book that you use, a book that you're able to share with others. And therefore, to mark your Bible means you walk around with your notebook. Right in your Bible. So you can look down immediately at verse 2 and see this is the vision. You can look down immediately at verse 17 of this chapter and see, don't you cheat. You wait till we get there and see this is the interpretation. All right, now let's look at what he tells us. Let's not add anything to the text. Let's simply observe the text. You get in trouble when you're studying, when you try to get your interpretation too quickly and you really don't see what does it say. All right, so Daniel said, verse 2, I was looking in the vision by night, and behold, the 4 winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And you'll see later on in Scripture that the sea is like just the mass of humanity. So here are the 4 winds, and later on you'll want to follow what you learn about the 4 winds. We're going to see a little bit about that today. The 4 winds were stirring up the great sea, and 4 great beasts were coming up out of the sea, different from one another. So he wants us to understand that these are 4 separate entities. All right, verse 4. The first, and I would mark them because he has told us there's 4 beasts. And so what I would do is I would underline 4, and then next to the first, I would put a 1 there and put a circle around it. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked up, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given it. Now, we're going to come back to that. I hope all sorts of dings are going off in your mind. I hope you're going, ooh, a lion, ooh, Dorothy. Okay, verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second one, put a 2 there, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side. Imagine it raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth. So I'm sticking my 3 fingers in my mouth like this. So here's this great bear. Catch this. He wants you to understand it's raised up on one side, and 3 ribs are in its mouth. And it shouldn't be talking with its mouth full, should it? All right. And they said to it, arise and devour much meat. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one. Now, it doesn't say a third one, but another one is the third. So let's put a 3 there. And another one, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Verse 7. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, number 4, you got it, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. it devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. The remainder of what? The remainder of the other three beasts, all right? And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 8, while I was contemplating the horns, how many were there? Say it out loud. It's good for you. 10 horns, all right? While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn. All right, so if you have 10 and you add one, what have you got? You've got 11 horns. And another one, a little one, came up among them. Them what? Them 10 horns. And three of the first horns, what first horns, the first 10, were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. All right. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. And I want to stop there and I want you to see, what have we got so far? We've got a description of a lion, a bear, and a leopard, and a what? Oh, no, I don't know. It's a dreadful and terrifying beast. It is the fourth beast, but it's not described like an animal. It's just described as dreadful and terrifying. So this is what I call it. I call it the DT beast. All right. So first I have a lion. Number two, I have a what? Bear. You're right. What do you know about this bear? You know this bear is lifted up on one side and has great ribs in its mouth. All right. And then I have a leopard, but it's a fast cat. It's a fast leopard because it has four wings and it has four wings of a bird and it has four heads and dominion was given to it. Now, leopard's a fast cat. You put four wings on that fast cat. I mean, honey, you're moving. All right. And has four heads. Then I come to this dreadful and terrifying beast. All right. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to mark the references to the dreadful and terrifying beast. Okay. I want you to pick, and I'm just going to give you colors. You can choose any colors you want. You can be as independent as you want to be, but I just pick brown for the beast. But I also am very curious about this little horn that has eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. So what I want to do is I want to mark that horn. Okay. So I just marked it orange. Okay. So I want to mark it in a color distinctive, but because it belongs to the fourth beast, I've got it orange and underneath I've got it underlined in brown. Okay? Got it? Good. All right. Now, I'm going to read verse 7 again and let's get this fourth beast. After this, I kept looking in the night visions and behold a fourth beast, color it brown, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong. And it had large iron teeth. It, and you want to mark the it, color it brown, now color this next it. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. All right, so its feet, you want to color brown. And it, and you want to color that, was different from all the beasts that were before it. Now, what I would do is, well, I'm not going to tell you what I'd do. We're just going to wait for a minute. And it, color that brown, had 10 horns. All right. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, color it orange. A little one came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, color the it, their orange, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. All right, now, we're going to look at this later in detail, but we know We've not walked down the yellow brick road. We've gone and explored Daniel's vision. And what we have seen is a lion and a bear and a leopard and a what? You got it, a DT beast. A DT beast with 10 horns and another little horn coming up among those 10. And that little horn, and just imagine my head as that little horn, all right, had eyes like the eyes of a man. Imagine me a man for a minute, and a mouth uttering great boasts. Now, the vision's not over. And this is what is exciting. It says, I kept looking. Until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was ablaze with flames, and its wheels were like a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him, and thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him, and the court sat, and the books were opened. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the little horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain. And that's the fourth beast. So you color it brown. You color the horn orange. And its body, the fourth beast, was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, it says their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was given to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That's the end of the vision. And Daniel's alarmed. And you ought to be terribly curious. And you know what? We're not going to go any farther than that until our next program. But you have an assignment. And what I want you to do is I want you to read through Daniel chapter 2.
What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.